Hi, I'm Emma Desi and I host Turning Readers into Writers, a podcast for first-time novelists. Each week I interview debut authors, editors, publishers and even number one bestsellers who help you find the time and confidence to write your own first novel. Together we'll keep you inspired, motivated and educated on all things writing, editing and publishing. So head on over to emmadesi.com where you'll find everything you need to know to start and finish your novel. I'll see you there.
So let's move on to some author stuff and discuss a little bit about the process of writing and publishing. So you've written a whole series of books. What are some things that you have learned that you're doing different than you used to do?
Well, one of the things that I've found is I'm writing anyways. I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. So obviously one of the common things that you probably hear from your guests is just make the commitment. And for me, that means sit down at my laptop at 5:30 every morning and, you know, whether brilliance comes out or not, you know, you're committing to that. You're committing to your purpose. The other part of it is that, it's you're either a writer or a pretender. And to be a better writer, I look at the outcome that I want. So it's actually not the book. You know, it's not having, you know, seven books, two others, and then three to come. It's actually, what's my purpose? What's my brand? When people reach out to David B. Savage, you know, who do they think they're reaching out to? So that's the bigger lesson that I've learned in the last, you know, 8 years as a publishing more often, is that writing books helps me clarify my thoughts, helps me bring in other wisdom, helps me learn. But it also really helps me to understand that I'm creating a promise to my readers. So no, I haven't made $1 million or got that big cash advance from, you know, whomever. But when people come to me for coaching or consulting or conflict resolution or helping them design new projects, they know what they're getting. So it is really a stream of offerings where the books as a writer is only part of it. So for example, many of us just like to write, but we really don't like to stand in front of a podium or stand in between two company presidents that are fighting. Well, if that's the case, that's great. But for me, it's the full meal deal. And I need to present myself and write consistently as somebody that really encourages and supports and provides proof of collaborative leadership. So on the ego side, I think a lot of people orphan their books. Oh, I wrote a book. Now I can stop all of this challenge and pain for the last 2 years I've been through in developing this masterpiece. So now I can get back to my real life. No, it can't work that way. You know, that is truly just an ego thing. If we know why we're writing, who we are, the services we offer to our clients and to our grandchildren, it all flows together and it has to flow together. So I really encourage other writers to, you know, be your brand. You know, what your book is needs to be aligned with what your purpose is and what you offer to the world.
Right. And that's what we're going to talk a bit about is be your brand. Elaborate on that a little bit more. What are you trying to tell authors about be your brand and how their book is their brand and they are their brand?
So you know, for me, the influence and my bank account is filled because I can offer workshops, I can offer conflict resolution, I can coach executives, all of that stuff. But it's kind of a chain that comes from all the books and the talks and the articles, etc. But in fact, the real point is we, by learning together, by being consistent, not spending two torturous years getting your baby out there and then orphaning it, You know, while I'm writing three future books, I'm constantly referring in my coaching, in my clients, in my articles online, referring to quotes from the books, tools in the books. It needs to be a total package. So I guess that's my answer, Stephen, is that it be your book. You know, your book is actually you. Maybe the better phrase is your book better be you and better be consistent with what you offer. It's not an event, just like culture is not an event. Collaboration is not an event. It's a culture, pardon me. So it is that constant feeding. And, you know, am I going to end up publishing 10 books within the next few years, a total of 10 books? Well, likely. It's because I believe it. I think it's really important. It's not a thing that I'm doing for my ego or to say, hey, I published a book. You know, the world, last time I checked, I think that there is about 6,000 books published every day around the world.
Wow.
And how many books are real bestsellers and, more importantly, real influencers? You know, you look at the New York Times bestseller list or Forbes or whatever, you know, there's really only a handful or maybe a dozen books that are authors that are really impactful. So, well, most of us, including me, probably will never get to that New York Times bestselling list. You know, I might get a bestseller for a week on Amazon. But it is that consistency to say, if you're writing this book, if you're publishing this work, it better be in complete alignment with your vision for your future and not just a thing.
Right. Okay. So how would you say that would apply to a fiction writer, somebody that writes fantasy or sci-fi?
Actually, well, thanks. That's a great segue because all my books so far and in my career, it's always been, you know, nonfiction, business, leadership, conflict resolution. And so for the last year, I've actually been working on a fiction book, and it'll be a graphic novel with my 12-year-old granddaughter and my 14-year-old grandson. And it is about an event at Tulameen in British Columbia. So it's really a wonderful family gathering place. But I turn this fictional story about differences and fear into a lesson about inclusion, respect, learning from each other, and sustainability and environmental protection. So I have all those undertones about what I dream of for a better future, but I'm working with the brilliance of Sarah and Quinn to help me do it very well so that we can connect to the audience of their age.
Nice. So how's that going with them as your collaborators?
Well, geez, they're waiting for me. You know, I'm the guy that's writing the first draft. I've given them a couple of first drafts, and they're the ones that'll tune it up. That Quinn, for example, is getting better and better as a graphic artist at 14. So, and Sarah, you know, oftentimes after school, she'll go down to her room and just write for an hour. So they're crafting and I'm holding them up because I want to get it right.
Nice. So what made you want to go do something outside of the nonfiction business book realm?
Partly because of the storytelling, partly because I just believe that the next generation and the next generation are so brilliant. They are far greater than I ever was at their age. And I just want to complement and support and collaborate with them and learn the language of graphic novels and learn the language of teenagers. So that it's actually building a collaboration with my grandchildren as they grow. And giving them also a sense of the power that they have with words and art.
Nice. So how are you using this and fitting it into your business brand, your nonfiction book brand?
So it has all the underlying key points and key themes about critical thinking, inclusion, collaborative leadership. So it's kind of the undertone. If somebody was to say, well, what was the overlying message of that? All those things are still there, but it's also an exploration together for the three of us.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I like that.
Yeah.
For your newest book, how long has it been available, did you say?
Better by Design.
Yes.
Released that 2 years ago.
Okay. And what have you been doing to get it marketed, get the word out?
As we talked about, it is a constant with your book is your brand, you are your book. So I just continue to reach out to a friend of mine, Brian Lee, has masterful work with hospitals throughout America. I did a Caregiver Heroes session and offered them copies of Better by Design. I'm working with you, offering your viewers copies of Better by Design. So it's a life work, and it's my gift as well.
Nice. Great.
Yeah.
So before we go, this has been a really great discussion with you, David. Do you have any last minute advice for authors?
Unless you're fully in, don't. You know, your book needs to be you. It's not just a sales business card, but it is your offering so that when your grandkids or your nieces and nephews read it, you know, 30 years from now, they'll say, hey, you know, he had something there. You know, I can learn something from them. And also, don't put so much energy into writing the book, getting it out there. You know, writing the book is probably 5% of the whole process. Getting it published is maybe 10% of the process. But 100% of the process is every day, the conversations you have. You know, how are we related? How curious am I about you? What can I learn from you, Stephen? What can I learn from your audience? The issues of starting from a sense of curiosity has to be in every one of my conversations. So it is a consistent, and I hope I stay and am in integrity to say they need to be respectful, gentle conversations. Yeah, you bet. And sometimes when I'm in conflict, resolving conflict, you know, we need to bring out the loud voices and the pounding tables, because some people respond to that better than gentle. But at the end of the time, you know, all of those people have something to teach me. So it's curiosity and consistency. It is, if you're just saying, I want to have a book and all of that, and, you know, there's tons of us authors that have boxes and boxes of our books in our garage. Don't do that, you know. Do it as your offering to the world and as a representation of what you're proposing to your community, your organizations, and to your future.
Great. I appreciate that. Thanks, David. I appreciate that. So you wanted to read from your book a chapter for people to listen to.
Yeah. Stephen, I'll give you a little bit of a background on this. So this is from my very first book, Breakthrough to Yes, Unlocking the Possible Within a Culture of Collaboration. And, you know, when we talk about integrity for authors, when we talk about being consistent and curious and holistic, let me say, and embracing complexity and employing critical thinking. I think storytelling really helps. When I was writing this book and I was sending it out to publishing houses before I landed my first publishing deal, most of the folks said, Dave, you know, this is a business book. You know, get that story out of there. That, you know, business people don't like stories. And I thought, which business people you've been talking to? You know, stories are the way to touch the heart, to change minds, and motivate groups. So the publisher that I did finally land on, first thing their editor said, Anna, said, wow, I just love that you start with a prologue titled Together a Forest. That is just, it sets the tone for the whole book. Because we can't be different at work at the quarter office or in the boardroom than we are at home or with our grandchildren. And we need to actually be humans, be vulnerable, be afraid of some things that are in the world, in our community, in our homes, and really touch hearts as best we can. So I used my prologue, Together a Forest, that I'm still really happy about. And if you will allow me, I'd like to read it to you.
That'd be great.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.